Good morning and buenos dias from the San Jose congregation. Go ahead, you can say it back. Buenos dias. In San Jose, we worship in both Spanish and English some of the time. I am so blessed to be visiting from San Jose on behalf of the Unitarian Universalist Association, the association that you are a part of. And so I bring you greetings from yourselves, from the association, from my home congregation. It's precious to be able to meet with congregations during this most challenging and interesting time. Sometimes it's a curse, sometimes it's a blessing to be in those interesting times, is it not? In life, as human beings and as congregations, we sometimes come to moments of significant choice. I want to talk with you about significant choices because religious communities and human beings can do well to make good, significant choices. And I think, actually, this is one of the most significant choices that a congregation makes. I also believe that significant choices are very much a part of our human lives. We cannot escape making significant choices. Sometimes we don't know that our choices are significant, but we can't escape it. So today I want to share with you what I think makes choices significant, and I want to share with you some of the strategies that I have gleaned from the UUA's ministerial search process that we can use as human beings to make good, significant choices. And finally, I want to talk with you about what a good, significant choice looks like. I have extrapolated these strategies from the UUA's ministerial search process, and it's documented in a document called the Settlement Handbook. It's available on the UUA website for all the world to see. It's a process that's developed over many years by congregations and ministers who've gone through this process year after year. And it's been tested out and progressively improved over the years. So later today, after the service, after we have a little bit to eat, I'll share with you some of the details of that ministerial search process. But before I do that, I want this morning to talk about some of the principles involved. And I want to tell you, too, that these, for me, are very real principles. I've applied some of them in my own life. Following a nearly fatal heart attack in 2005, I made some significant choices. And those choices have truly blessed my life. Indeed, they have made it possible for me to walk to the bus this morning, get on the bus, go to BART, take BART up to Hayward here, and then walk up the hill to the church here. After having had a nearly fatal heart attack 10 years ago, and after that heart attack, my heart was deeply wounded. Some of it is still not there. Some of it actually died in the heart attack. And yet, because of choices I've been able to make, I can be with you here today. So these strategies are very real for me. Some of them will apply for you. Some of them might not. So I offer them as suggestions. Now, before we talk about those strategies, let's talk a little bit about what makes a choice significant. Well, it could mean that the choice has far-reaching impact, that it affects us in a lot of different ways. And that indeed could be true. Or it could mean that it affects our lives in a very deep way, a profound way. But I want to suggest that the Latin root for the word significant might tell us something more about what a significant choice might be. It comes from a word, signum, which means sign or signal. And it's the same root that is used for those words, sign and signal. So a significant choice might be something that is a sign of something, perhaps about ourselves, or a signal, perhaps about what life is to be in the future. Significant signifies something, perhaps something about what our values are, or who we are, or who we are becoming. So how does the significance of a choice affect the way we make that choice? Well, my experience is, when I have a significant choice in front of me and I'm aware of it, I take more time, I pay more attention. The quality of my choosing changes. If I'm not aware that it's significant, very often I will treat it as just another choice. Toss the coin, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Somehow I will make the choice in a simple way. But if it's significant, I'll spend some time on it. I'll spend some energy on it. And the more important it is, the more I will pay attention. And in some sense, as I make the choice, I actually find myself moving into a sense of worship, a sense of sorting out what is of most value. What is really the core meaning of my life? So what strategies might we use? I want to suggest 13 strategies. Number one, increase your options at the beginning. Look at all kinds of possibilities. This is something like brainstorming. Open up your mind to the possibilities. You might even think about some things that might at the beginning seem crazy or odd. The second is to avoid prejudging. And this is related to the first. It helps us to truly increase our options, because often it is so easy to come at something as if we think we know what this choice is about, and we know exactly what we want already. We come at it with a prejudice. Now, Loyola University of New Orleans, a Roman Catholic university, wrote the statement that was read earlier to its students as they were making choices in their futures, in their educations, and their careers. And they were very wise to point out that hanging on to prejudices and assumptions that we go at things with is dangerous. The choosing process, they said, ought to be disentangled from inordinate attachment, disordered affectivity. It must purge itself of bias, prejudice, and stereotypical thinking. So that's the second. Avoid prejudging. The third, use all reasonably available resources, every source of information that you can get your hands on in order to understand your choice and to understand the possibilities. Loyola University had a tip on that as well. No pertinent light that comes to us from history, science, art, or religious experience should be ignored. Came from a Roman Catholic university, but it sounds downright Unitarian Universalist to me. Use every source of information. Number four, seek imaginatively to fully understand yourself. If your choice is going to be significant in the sense of signaling something about you, then self-understanding is essential. So if it's really going to work in your life, get to know yourself well. Look in the light places, look in the dark places. Get to know what makes you tick, what matters to you, what will make a difference to you. Number five. Now that you have a good sense of the options that are available to you and a good sense of yourself, carefully winnow down, sort through, choose out some of the possibilities, begin to narrow. There comes a time when having too many choices is counterproductive, and you have to begin to close some doors. Close them carefully, but we must close some doors in order to move forward through some other doors. Number six, persistently seek to fully and deeply understand your chosen options. Now that you've narrowed it down, go deeper into what these choices, these possibilities mean. Keep working at understanding all of the implications of your choices. Number seven, as you're doing this, base your decision-making on values at least as much as on facts. Let the facts speak, but listen deeply to the values. Number eight, progressively try out the choices that you are considering to the extent that you can. Sometimes you can't really understand how a choice is going to work, what is going to happen in your life if you choose it, unless you experience it somehow. So to the extent that you can, get an experience of it. Now, some significant choices are about relationships, and indeed, selection of a minister is one of those choices. And as a matter of fact, it is one of the most important ones. So if your significant choice is about relationship, here are some strategies that work around relationships. Number nine, if your choice is about relationship, make it relationally. It is so tempting to make lists, checklists, to just come out with the facts and make a decision. But if you don't engage in relationship, you may be missing some of the most essential parts of this choosing. So it's best done with a deep commitment to being in relationship and to considering the inherent worth and dignity of yourself and the others whom you are considering. Number 10, if your choice is about relationship, be clear about how you want to be in that relationship. Be clear about how you want to relate. That way you can be clear to your partner or potential partner what it is you're actually wanting to enter into with them. Number 11 comes from another of those interesting, different sources of spiritual wisdom, Ronald Reagan. You remember him saying, "Trust, but verify." And if it's about relationship, we need to trust. We need to put ourselves out there. We need to put ourselves at a bit of risk, and we need to keep verifying, keep checking out, keep making sure that this is right for us. And number 12, if your choice involves relationship, fully disclose yourself. Don't put yourself down. Don't negate yourself, but put your whole self out there. Ultimately, the truth will out, won't it? Why not at this time when you're making this significant choice with a potential significant other person? Now to another question. What does successful look like? What do we mean when we say it's a successful significant choice? And I would suggest four things. First, a successful significant choice is not perfect. We are human beings. Human beings are living, alive, changing, moving, expecting a perfect choice is expecting too much and might actually force us into making a very bad choice. It might be forcing us into failure. So allow it to be imperfect, but very good. Second, a significant choice that is good is not necessarily unquestionably right. It may be well reasoned, well felt. It might really reflect our values very well, but absolute confidence being unquestionable is unlikely. So be willing to have some uncertainty as you enter that choice. Third, a successful significant choice should not boil down to accepting whatever you can get or taking the first available path. Instead, it should be clearly good. And it should be clearly good enough. And fourth, sometimes choosing not to choose is the very best choice. Sometimes it's not yet the right moment. Sometimes the conditions are not quite right yet. Sometimes the available choices are not the one you should choose. Now, you might have noticed that I stopped at 12 strategies, and I told you at the beginning that I'd share with you 13. I was holding out on you. I saved the 13th for last because it is very significant. Significant choices truly are, as Kathleen McTeague said in our opening reading, they are on the forming edge of our lives. They are how we sort out who we are becoming and what our life is becoming. They represent those points in our lives when transformation and change and new life is possible. So the final strategy, allow yourself to be changed by the process. If your choice is truly significant, it might really be signifying something about who you are becoming. Let that transformation happen. So may it be.